In the name of Jesus, who has poured out his Spirit into our hearts and into our world, your fellow redeemed. Tell me, if you were to ask the average first grader on the night before Christmas, you know who's coming tomorrow? What do you think they'd say? Probably Santa Claus, right? Maybe baby Jesus. If you'd ask that same child on the night before Easter, you know whose appearance we're celebrating tomorrow? Maybe Jesus, maybe the Easter Bunny. But if you were to ask last night that same child, do you know who's coming we're going to celebrate at church tomorrow? What would you get? A blank stare? What? Somebody come to church? What you talking about? Isn't that the way it is with Pentecost? I mean, it kind of gets easily overlooked, set aside, misunderstood. I mean, certainly from the world's perspective, right? They don't get it. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing that the world has not yet commercialized Pentecost, right? We didn't have any pre-Pentecost sales out at the mall this week. No such thing as chocolate Pentecost bunnies. No Pentecost costume parties. But just because the world doesn't get Pentecost doesn't mean that we have to join them in their spiritual ignorance. We have an opportunity to focus on what Pentecost is all about. And we do that today. Today we celebrate the third of the big three festivals of the Christian church year. On Christmas, we celebrate the coming of the Christ child. At Easter, we celebrate the coming of Christ from the grave. And on Pentecost, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Today we join those early believers as we celebrate this fact: the Holy Spirit has come. And as we look at the events of that first Pentecost day, we see that the Holy Spirit has come with miraculous signs. He's come with the gift of tongues, and he's come with a message of salvation for all. Our text begins with these words: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They refers to the apostles, but maybe a larger group of believers gathered there as well. They're gathered in one place. We don't know exactly what house they were in, but we do know what city they were in, because Jesus had specifically told them before he ascended, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." With those words, Jesus was promising to send them the Holy Spirit. And on Pentecost, his promise was fulfilled. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came first with miraculous signs. Luke tells us, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting." Notice that the house does not get hit by a tornado. It only sounds like a tornado. This was a miracle. It was going to gather a crowd of people that God was going to use later as a part of his plan. And then the second miraculous sign was this, what, ball of fire that comes down, breaks into little tongues, and lands on their heads. But it's not normal fire. It doesn't burn up their hair. It's more like the fire of the burning bush in the Old Testament that burned but didn't burn up the bush. This, too, was a miraculous sign to announce that the Holy Spirit had come. But the Holy Spirit came not only with miraculous signs, he also came with the gift of tongues. Luke tells us, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Oftentimes the question is raised these days, what are these gifts of tongues? What does that mean? Were these disciples so overcome with emotion that they just started babbling gibberish? No. Did God give them the ability to speak a language that only God understands, the language of the angels? No. God gave them the ability to speak real languages that they had never learned before. Languages of the people who had been gathered to Jerusalem for this festival. And we know that because Luke tells us, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own language? You realize this is a miracle. Up until this point, these men are fishermen. They're lives in rural Galilee. They knew their own language, Aramaic. They probably knew Greek, but they were not fluent in languages from all over the world until this moment when suddenly they could speak these languages. God the Holy Spirit was equipping them to carry out the great commission that Jesus had given them. Go and make disciples of all nations, including nations where up until today you didn't know the language. Notice that the disciples don't take long in putting their newfound language to work. How do they use it? They use it to learn to order off the menu, to tell somebody where the bathroom is. No. What do they talk about? They talk about the wonders of God. The people said, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. They preach the gospel, the wonderful things that God had done for mankind in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, that's why the Holy Spirit was poured out. He wanted to equip and empower the apostles to preach the gospel, the most important message of all. In so doing, the Holy Spirit came with a message of salvation for all. And the first guy who speaks is who? Simon Peter. Simon Peter, the same guy who was afraid to admit he even knew Jesus in front of some little servant girl? Simon Peter, the guy who locks the doors for fear of the Jews? Simon Peter stands up now and boldly preaches the gospel to thousands of Jews? That's already proof that the Holy Spirit had been poured out. This was in perfect fulfillment of the promise that Jesus made to his apostles. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Peter gets up and begins to preach. And the first thing he does is quotes the Old Testament prophet Joel. He tells the people, all the stuff you're seeing here, all that's going on, this is all in fulfillment of what the prophet already wrote with these words. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. With those words, Joel is drawing a distinction between the time before Christ and the time after Christ. Before Christ in the Old Testament, God the Holy Spirit worked primarily with one nation. Even though there were some foreigners who were brought to faith by the Holy Spirit, they all ultimately came to faith in the God of the Israelites, the God of the Bible. You might say that the Holy Spirit worked in kind of a limited field. With Pentecost, that all changes. Now the Holy Spirit is no longer focused just on one nation. He's focused on people from every nation. He says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. This is a change. That you might say Pentecost is really the birthday of the international Christian church. But from his vantage point, Joel not only saw the beginning of this new era, he also saw the end of it. I mean, after saying that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out at Pentecost, he immediately goes on to say, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. What is he talking about? I mean, is he saying that on Pentecost, the sun and moon will go dark? No, actually, he's talking about a different event. With these words, he's talking about the end of the world, Judgment Day. But from Joel's perspective, although he can see those two events in the future, they look like they're going to happen at the same time. It's a little bit like looking at a mountain range from a distance and not knowing for sure how far are those peaks separated. Joel couldn't tell how much distance, how much time between Pentecost and Judgment Day. And you know something? We don't know either. All we know for sure is that we're in between those two events. The Holy Spirit has come, but Jesus has not yet returned. The question is, so what? So what does that mean? Why should we celebrate Pentecost? I mean, is the takeaway from this whole thing, boy, we should all hope to be able to speak in tongues someday? No. Tongues was a gift that God gave to his early Christian church to confirm that he was working in their midst, to confirm that what the apostles taught was actually from God. Nowadays, we don't need to speak in tongues to prove that somebody's from God. God has given us his inspired word. This becomes what we use as the rule to determine, is that person a Christian or not? It's the word that confirms, not tongues. So then what does that leave? What's the point of celebrating Pentecost? Three reasons. First, Pentecost reminds us that the Holy Spirit is the real deal. I mean, granted, he didn't get as much press as the Son and the Father did in Scripture, but that doesn't mean he's any less powerful, any less eternal, any less important, any less real. Pentecost is our chance to celebrate the Holy Spirit, to give him his due. And not just his due as a person, as the third person of the Trinity, but more importantly, his work in our lives. The Apostle Paul tells us that the work of the Holy Spirit when he wrote to the Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You realize what that means? It means that if you've ever been weighed down by your sins, if you know that the only thing you have earned by your life from a just and holy God is hell, If you know that somebody went to the cross in your place and suffered hell for you so you don't have to, if you know that somebody spilled blood to make you his own, if you know that by the grace of God, heaven is your home, then you know that God the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in your heart. If you know your Savior, you know you have the Spirit. And that's not only true for you, it's true for millions of people in our world. I mean, really, that's the third reason that we can celebrate this day. It gives us a chance to just stand in awe of what the Spirit is doing among the nations. I mean, think about it. On Pentecost Day, the apostles spoke all these different languages and proclaimed the gospel in all these different languages. The same thing is still happening today. Christian missionaries taking the gospel out in different languages. Now, granted, Christian missionaries got to learn their languages the old-fashioned way, right? We got to study them. We don't spontaneously speak different languages. But it's still an extension of the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit equipping believers to proclaim the gospel in many different languages. And you realize that even our little Wells is a part of that. Google Wells Multilanguage Publications, and you will find that our synod has translated gospel materials into 52 different languages. You think about what's going on right now in Vietnam. Actually, this Tuesday, the World Mission Board is going to meet here at Mount Olive, and we, God willing, are going to extend a call to a second missionary to the Hmong in Vietnam. And the first item of business for that man will be learning the Hmong language. It won't be easy, but it will be critical. So that one day, there will be people, God willing, in Hanoi, Vietnam, who say the same thing that people in Jerusalem said. Namely, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. That's a miracle. But don't you think that's what Joel was talking about? This vision that the young and old, the men and women alike would see, this vision of the Holy Spirit bringing the gospel to our world so that people of different tribes and different languages and different nations would know the peace that comes from Jesus. It's true. The Holy Spirit has come. He's come into your hearts by God's grace. And by God's grace, He is still coming into the hearts of people all over the world. That, my friends, is a miracle. It's a miracle worth celebrating on Pentecost and on every day of our lives. To God the Holy Spirit be our thanks and praise forever and ever. Amen.